But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him.
Woo! Somebody give God a shout of praise. Come on, you can do better than that this morning. Give God a shout of praise. They told me that old school is still in the building. Can you prove it to me for the next 30 seconds? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I still got a praise on the inside. Wow. You may be seated right now. I want to go into this word, but first of all, I am not Pastor Edmund. So if we have any visitors in the house, can you just wave at us right now? Just wave. We want to welcome you here at Word of Truth Family Church. Pastor Edmund is not here, but he has given me the task to bring the word this morning. Amen. And I want to just tell you right now, I had to go through something to get this one. And I don't know who's in here. I don't know who I came for, but I didn't come with a sermon. I came with a message. And there's a difference. You can have things already pre-planned, but God knows how to give you something for somebody. And I want to let you know this morning that God is about to move in a way that I haven't even seen. Oh my God, and I'm already ready for it. Amen. Amen. So guess what? For the next two Sundays, I'm going to be preaching. Hallelujah. Pastor Evan said, I want you to take two. And so I'm maximizing these two Sundays and I'm starting a two-part series called Beyond. Beyond. And I believe that God is about to take us further and faster. I believe he's about to do some things in your life that your eyes literally have not seen, that your ears literally have not heard. It hasn't even entered your heart, the things that he has in store for you. So we just want to go ahead and get in this word. Is that all right? Amen. So let's read in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. The Bible declares, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd. They were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Somebody say begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and called him. So they called the blind man, cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you. Somebody say, he's calling me. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, somebody say immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Beyond the Cloak. Look at your neighbor and ask a question and say, neighbor, can you see beyond the cloak? You sound kind of quiet, so ask the other neighbor because we're going to wake you up this morning. Say, hey neighbor, can you see beyond the cloak? Woo! All right, let's get into this word. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. The Bible declares that without a vision, the people perish. I need for you to understand that the enemy is coming after your vision. Some of you thought he was coming after your house alone. Thought he was coming after your sickness, coming after your health, coming after your mind. No, he was coming after your vision. Because he understands that if he can blur your vision, he can rewrite your story. You thought the enemy was just coming after you just because it's you. No, he was coming because he got a sneak peek on what God said about you. He heard that God had plans for you, and he was roaming the earth to and fro, seeking whom he could devour. Devour in what way, Polo? To take their vision. And I'm telling you right now, I know by the unction of the Holy Ghost that you all have been dealing with some vision being leaking out of you. You have been asking the Lord, Lord, what about that dream you gave me? What about the things you told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Am I talking to somebody? And it looks as if, God, you never came through on the word that you told me. But I come to let you know this morning, God had you in mind this week. Because the enemy was trying to blur your vision because he wanted to gain the power to rewrite your story. In other words, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you realize that every day when you wake up, the enemy is after your vision? And when you don't pray, P-R-A-Y, the enemy still pray, P-R-E-Y. He never takes off when he is on his job. Since the beginning of your life, he has been after you to steal, to kill, and destroy. Because he understands that when he steals your vision, he steals your hope. And when he steals your hope, he kills your faith. And when he kills your faith, you walk without a vision, therefore you perish. Somebody say, he's after my vision. Oh, because when you lose vision, you lose more than just vision. You want me to tell you some of the things you lose? You lose time. You lose energy. You lose focus. You lose purpose. You lose resources. You lose emotional capacity. You start giving your time to people who end up wasting it. Oh, I'm talking to you. And I don't know about you, but when you hit your mid-30s and you get into them 40s and them 50s and them 60s and them 70s, and if you make it to them 80s, the last thing you want anybody to do is to waste your... Where my church at right now? I didn't come to play this morning. The enemy is coming after your time. And when you lose vision, you don't know what to do when you wake up in the morning. It's just another morning for the person who lost vision. But when you have vision, you know what your day look like. You wake up with energy before you get your coffee because you already know what today is going to look like, be like, sound like. Come on, somebody. When you lose vision, you lose energy because you start hanging with people literally that suck you dry. Woo! You always got to be the person encouraging somebody else. So vision gets lost because I hang with people who can't sharpen me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You start hanging with people that's literally draining your battery, your battery, your battery. You're always the one saying you can make it, you can do it, you can make it, you can do it. But who's telling you that you can make it, you can do it, you can make it, you and... And sometimes when you don't have anyone to say that back to you, the vision will say it back to you. I wish I had somebody here that really had a vision. The vision will speak and it will not lie. You lose resources. When you don't have vision, you start wasting your money on things that do not support the vision. Woo! Because vision has a way of safeguarding you. Vision tells me who can be my friend and who cannot. Vision. Because I can't walk with somebody who don't have similar visions. You don't compliment my vision. But the problem is when I lose vision, I let anybody in. Oh my God. So you lose time, you lose energy, you lose resources, you lose emotional capacity. But most of all, somebody say most of all, when you lose vision, you lose you. I want to just park right there. Because there are some people who hooked up in relationships and you forgot about you. Don't even know what make you happy no more. Because you done lost vision of who you are. You know what he or she like to eat and you sacrifice all of the things that you like for that other person. Meanwhile, you never find out again, well, what do I like to do? I used to like going to the movies. I used to like bowling. I used to like crossword puzzles. Now I find myself doing nothing but pleasing somebody else. That's not the will of God. So you lose you. I want y'all to hear this. See, without vision, you become the lowest version of self. I need y'all to hear me. When you don't have vision, you become the lowest version of yourself. I want to ask you a question. Think about some of the worst times in your life. Some of the lowest points in your life. I guarantee you, when you go down memory lane, it was in a season when you didn't have vision. Some of you right now got some exes that you would never tell somebody that was your ex. Oh, yeah. Some of you know, you just skip right on over them. They talk about who your ex. No, that. Woo! Some of you look back at things that you dated, people you dated, places you've gone, things you've done, and you ask yourself, what was I thinking? Oh my God. And let me tell you something. Some of them people, they knew they were getting over on you because they knew on the inside if he or she ever find out who they really were, they would not be dating me. Oh, some of your exes got lucky that you didn't know who you were. Oh, I'm going to say it for you. You can go ahead and repost it. Some of your exes, they would got lucky that you didn't look in the mirror and see yourself the way God sees you. And you spend all your time trying to get somebody who is ill-equipped. Oh, my God. Let me go over here. Where y'all at? You spend all of your time trying to get somebody that wasn't even qualified to be in your life. And you're using all your energy trying to get them to love you. Woo! I became my lowest version of self. I started slipping and sliding all into all kinds of things when I lost my vision. That's why the enemy is coming after you. Are y'all hearing me? Woo! You see, some of your worst moments in life happen because you didn't have a vision. Let me show you how that looks. Some of you couldn't see a man wanting you after you got a divorce with 3 kids. And you started believing the lie of the enemy. No man is going to want me after this. Some of you men, you have gone through hell and high water. Perhaps some of you may even got a felony and you are believing in your heart that no woman would ever be able to deal with my past. And that's the enemy coming in, planting seeds, trying to damage and steal and kill and destroy your vision. But I just need somebody in this place to give God a shout of praise because God... was looking out for you. In your darkest moments, when you forgot about you, God was covering you. I need you to understand that sometimes you got to apologize to the version of you that forgot you. You got to forgive yourself for forgetting yourself. Woo, I like that right there. You got to forgive yourself for forgetting yourself. And I want to let you know today that it's not all about you, but in this next season, it's going to involve you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's not all about you, but in this next season, it's going to involve you. Somebody say, include me, Jesus. Some people met you when you was broken. They met the broken you. They met the lack of boundaries you. They left the people pleasing you. They left the needing validation you. They met the low self-esteem you. Watch this. They met the recovering you. But I think it's time to reintroduce yourself to the world. I am the righteousness of God. I am royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. You can kick me out your circle if you want to, but I belong to God. Woo! I belong to God. And I need you to understand, this is something I had to live. Because when people try to remind me of my past, my broken days, listen, this was my response. Yep, I did it. I sure did. I did it. Ain't no need to lie. Just go ahead and confess your sins. And let me tell you what it does. It takes the power away from the enemy. I did it because I was broken. I did it because I was blind. I did it because I didn't have vision. I was lost, but now I'm found. Woo! I was blind, but now I... Y'all better stop playing with me this morning. I'm now found. And so this brings me to the text, because we find this man named Bartimaeus. But I used to think his name was Bartimaeus, until I did a little bit more study and found out his name wasn't Bartimaeus. Y'all looking at me like that too? I was looking at the Bible like that too. And I started doing some studying, and I said, well, it says Bartimaeus, but that wasn't his name. Come on now. In that time, the word Bar meant son. And so he was the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus. So I started realizing, because I thought he was the one in the Bible who at least had a name. But he wasn't even given a name. In the Bible, he was still unnamed. The overlooked. And I come to tell somebody in here, you've been feeling like your name has been under attack. And people don't even have the audacity to even know who you are. I'm talking to the overlooked. I'm talking to the ones that don't have a name. I'm talking to the ones that they call you by your condition. Divorced Debbie, you know what I'm saying? Crazy Karen, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking to the ones that get labeled. That's Wino Willie. You get what I'm saying? Like people will put an adjective before your name. But this guy didn't even have a name. And I started sitting with that in my study time and in my prep time. And I started asking myself, wow, he didn't even have a name. But the next part really got me right here. This is what really got me right here. It's that he was blind and he was begging. Oh, my God. See, it's one thing to have one issue, but it's another thing when your issue creates another issue. Oh, he was blind. That's one issue, but he also was begging. That's another issue. And I want you to see that many times in your life, you have two issues. There is a primary issue, and then there is a secondary issue. And what the church in the, and I'm going to say it. The church has been real good at labeling people with their secondary issues. And word of truth, if we're going to grow and if we're going to be a house that's going to be able to welcome people in this place, we got to look beyond the secondary issue. What's the secondary issue, Polo? Okay, he was begging. But why was he begging? Because he was. That's the primary issue. You see, if he can see, he wouldn't need to beg. If you knew who you were, you just wouldn't give your body. But we live in a culture that is quick to call a woman a whore, but won't address the hole in the heart. Are you hearing what I'm coming. We're quick to tell you about a man that can't stay faithful, but can we address the fact that he has daddy issues and he never had somebody to speak into him and be an example? And if we don't fix this as the church, we're not going to be a safe space for them to come into and grow and develop and mature. Come on, church. I'm telling you, I'm not playing this morning. We have to be able to welcome in the broken and say, I see beyond your secondary issue. I see the primary issue. There's a primary issue there. And this man, overlooked, unnamed, he found himself hearing about Jesus. And the Bible declares, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Now wait a minute, because I need for you to understand, you may have lost some things in your life. But just because you lost some things in your life doesn't mean you lost everything in your life. And I need to talk to some people who know how to make it on broken pieces. I need to talk to some people who know how to make it when things are not going good, but I'm going to use whatever I have. This man says, I can't see you, Jesus. Can't see you, but I heard. Can't see how you gonna do some things, but I heard. Don't see how I'm coming out of this one, but I, whoa, my God. Because you gotta understand that Bartimaeus was not the only blind person at, outside of Jericho. I'm gonna say it again. Blind Bartimaeus was not the only blind person outside of Jericho. But he was the only blind person that could see Jesus. And that's why some of you are hanging around people and you start speaking what you're feeling in your spirit and they looking at you like you crazy because they can't see what you see. And I'm telling you right now, you better get away from people that can't see the way you see. Because he was blind, that could have given him an excuse not to see Jesus. How did he see Jesus? He understood something that other people didn't. He didn't just call him Jesus. He called him by his messianic name. Son of David. Wait a minute. Everybody wasn't just calling him son of David. You had to believe in Jesus to call him son of David. Because the fact is, he was not the son of David. So that means he had some word in him to know that Jesus came from the bloodline. Woo! Can we just talk this word out this morning? He understood that this man right here was different. He come from the son of David. He says, I'm calling you by your covenant name. And when I call him by the covenant name, you were a healer. That means you are a healer and you will forever be a healer. Oh, let's do this right here. If I call him by his covenant name, you will be, you have been a provider. You are a provider. You will always provide. You were a way maker. You are a way maker. You'll forever be a way maker. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You were peace. You are peace. You'll forever be my peace. You are the source of my joy. You've been it and you'll forever be it. And I'm calling you by your covenant name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Shalom. I just want to know, does anyone in here know him by his covenant name? A name that can't be broken. A name that's all powerful. A name that stands forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my blood and my name. Woo! Chuck, give me a little bit more of these monitors if you can. My God, your covenant name, your covenant name. Woo! Because in this season, I need you to hear me. I know I'm speaking to about 50 of you right now. Your spiritual sight goes further than your natural sight. And what I'm really trying to say is that sometimes your spirit can see what your eyes can. Woo! And some of you have been in this space right now where your eyes cannot see. But there's something on the inside that says something about to happen. Oh, I don't see how it's going to happen, but something has been telling you something about to break. Oh, your children been acting crazy, but there's been a peace on the inside of you. No matter what the storm was, you are literally saying something's around the corner. I don't know what it is, but I sense it. I feel it in my spirit. You know why you are feeling that way? Because you still got vision. Now, some of you may have partial vision. You see part of it. But I believe this morning God is about to restore your vision. Ooh, Jesus. Man, I feel God in this place right now. Now, I need you to hear this right here. Verse 48 says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I'm about to do something. God just told me to do something. And this is going to sound a little crazy for all my conservative people. But we just had old school Sunday and I saw all y'all just laid out all over this place. So you ain't that conservative. Y'all been fooling us. We got everything up in here. I literally just sensed the Lord telling me to do something by an act of faith. As I read the scripture, he says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Right now, I want to give about 30 seconds for all the Barnabas out there to give God a shout. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, Barnabas. Come on, Barnabas. Come on, Barnabas. Come on, Barnabas. Give him a shout. Woo. Give me that mic right there. Give him a shout. Shout for your vision. Woo. Shout for your purpose. Shout. Come on right now, give him a shout, give him a shout. Shout for what he's about to do. Shout because the battle's not over. Shout because he's coming through. Shout because he's about to make a way. Shout because all things are working together. Working together for the good of him who loves the Lord. Shout. Shout for your children. Shout for your children's children. Shout for your children's children's children. Shout that they're healed. Shout that they're restored. Shout that they're delivered. Shout. And while he was doing what you're just doing, there was church people telling him to be quiet. Telling him it don't take all that. Even the disciples was in the crowd. But I got news for the devil. The Bible says that they was rebuking him in one verse. But in the next verse, they had to tell him, cheer up. He's calling you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank you, Holy Ghost. He says, the people that's discouraging you in one verse.
are going to be the same ones that have to encourage you in the next verse. I'm free in this place this morning. You might get the real polo. I'm tired of suppressing who I am. You are about to get the real version. Look at your neighbor and say, reintroduce yourself. One verse, they telling you to be quiet. And in the next verse, they gotta come get you. In one verse, they telling you that you're crazy. In the next verse, they gonna walk you into the presence of Jesus. In one verse, they said hush. In the next verse, they gonna say, give them a praise. That's why you can't worry about who supports you right now. You gotta see beyond the cloak. My God, my God, my God. My God, my God, my God. You gotta see beyond the cloak. Woo. All right. Hold on. Woo. Woo. Whom the Son sets free. God did something in me last week. Look, have a seat, have a seat, have a seat. But I need for you to understand something real quick. When he started screaming and crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he did that, it caused Jesus to stop. And by faith, what you just did, I believe that Jesus just stopped and he rested in this place. So he shouted. They were getting angry and rebuked him, but Jesus stopped. Because Jesus is not going to reject the worshiper. I don't care. Look at this now. He's still blind, but Jesus stops for his worship. Now I need you to hear this right here, because now we get deeper into the text. This is what God was showing me about Bartimaeus. In that time period, the government would give blind people a cloak. And what they would do with this cloak is that they would give it to them. And this would become a symbol. It would end up becoming a license to beg. It's almost the equivalence to you having a handicap sticker that gives you the right to park close to the front. And so he would have this on him to give him permission. Somebody say permission to beg. Because the government didn't mind him staying on the outside begging. And I want to let you know that you got to be careful who give you garments. Because they can clothe you and capture you at the same time. And because they gave him garments, no one could stop him from holding his cup out. And watch this, living beneath his kingdom privilege. And so I wonder, how many years did he get okay? Was he okay with living with the cloak? I wonder, how long was he okay with surviving with the garment that was given by the government to say, it's all right for you to beg. I want to talk to some people in here that's tired of begging. Oh, you're tired of living beneath your privileges. If the Bible said it, I want it. If God says he wants to get it to me, I want to take it from him. I want everything that God has for me. I want what my eyes can't see. I want what my ears can't hear. I want those things that God has been cooking up for me. And this is the season that God is about to see beyond the cloak. So I need you to hear this. Man, I got to go. So he's sitting on the side of the road. He hears Jesus. And these people, They tell him to be quiet. Jesus stops. He says, call him. They're the same ones that say, come, Jesus wants you. And the Bible says that he, throwing off his cloak. That means nothing to the pious. That means nothing to those who have had everything all your life. But when you're talking to a man that was blind, couldn't work for himself, didn't even have a name, was overlooked, was left in a place outside the gate where he couldn't do nothing for himself, this was the moment right here that freed him. I'm gonna show it to you. He's still blind, but he threw this off. You missed it. You missed it. I said he was still blind at that moment when he threw that off, because that was the act of faith. Faith says, I'm not this anymore. Faith says, I'm going to throw this off before I can see. Faith says, I'm going to let this go until God does the rest. And I want to let you know, can you see beyond what people labeled you? Can you see beyond your past mistakes? Can you see beyond what people put on you? The shame and the guilt. Oh my God. This cloak identified him as a beggar. This cloak gave him the right to beg. This cloak right here that was put on him by a system that would cause him to remain in the state that he was in. But in Isaiah, I see something that God says, I just want to read this right here. And I'm just going to get out of my way. I'm going to get out your way. Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I need for you to realize that it gets heavy when you are carrying what somebody else put on you. It gets heavy when you are carrying what someone else put on you. It gets heavy when you are living beneath the privileges. But I need you to hear this. The star of this story is not the blind man. The star of the story is Jesus. He didn't have to stop, but he stopped anyway. And I believe this morning right now that some of you have been having a cloak on. But God is challenging you this morning to say, can you see beyond the cloak? He's blind, but he has vision. See, blindness dealt with his eyes, but vision was in his heart. And right now, there are some marriages that are on the rocks because you can't see how this relationship is going to work with your eyes. But Jesus has stopped by to say, can you see beyond the cloak? Can you see beyond mistakes, failures? Can you see beyond your past? I want you to see something. We heard this verse all the time. We heard this passage all the time. But watch this. When he gets to Jesus, Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? It sounds like a crazy question, but I pray you never see this verse the same way again. When he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He wanted Bartimaeus to be specific. I told you he had a primary issue and a secondary issue. He was blind and he was a beggar. Jesus was giving him the choice to choose. Do you want temporary relief? Or do you want a lasting transformation? Do you want me to give you a fish? Or do you want me to open your eyes and I can teach you how to fish? for so many years, he received alms from people and men. But Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, I want to see. Bartimaeus says, since you are everything that I'll ever need, I want to correct my primary issue. I don't want to keep coming to the front because I keep sinning. I want you to fix my heart. I want you to give me vision again so that I can see myself correctly. In essence, Bartimaeus chose the miracle over the money. Oh, y'all not hearing me in here. He chose the miracle over the money. And because he chose the miracle, he says, if you give me the miracle, I'll get my own money. And all over the place, if you don't mind, can you just stand right now? Because God told me to tell his people that you're going to have to get rid of cloak mentality. Because cloak mentality will get you comfortable living beneath the privileges. A cloak mentality will have you living in a space that God did not create for you. And I believe this morning we're supposed to get rid of the cloak, to see beyond the cloak. And I feel led to pray for you this morning. It's a little different. So let's just close our eyes right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people and your children. Father, I thank you that your children have eyes to see that they need you, to see who you are, to see that they're nothing without you, to see that you're the main attraction, that you're the star of the story, that you, God, are everything that we need. We want you over things. We want you over items. We want you over our secondary issues. We no longer just want alms. We want the anointing. We don't just want money. We want the miracle. We want you to do things that goes beyond our expectation, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I pray against cloak mentalities in this place. I pray that every person that comes in here with a past, anything they've been labeled as, I pray that after today, they will see beyond what was put on them. I don't care what shame, I don't care how dirty their story was, I don't care where they come from, I don't care what somebody knows, I pray that they'll be able to see beyond the cloak. And right now, if you're in this place and you want to give your life to Christ, if you don't mind, can you just raise your hand very high right now?